risky business. At the end of last year, as I was contemplating the changes that I would like to make in this new decade of 2020, I decided that this would be the year that I would take big chances. To solidify the deal with myself, I ordered a bottle of Chance perfume by Chanel. I found out that when buying products on the Chanel website, you are given the opportunity to send a card along with your purchase. On my card, I wrote to myself, "Dearest Ronell, in 2020, take big chances." I tacked that card on the whiteboard in my office so that every time that I fail or every time that I am reluctant to try something new or to stretch myself beyond what is comfortable, I remember my challenge to myself. Ronell, take big chances. Whenever I wear it, it reminds me that I am called to be a risk taker. It seems to me that in our text for this morning, there is another risk taker named Nicodemus who went to have a heart-to-heart talk with Jesus under the cloak of darkness. The text tells us that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. Now, there are many possible reasons why Nicodemus chose to visit Jesus under the cover of darkness. Maybe the nighttime was the right time. Perhaps his busy schedule as a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, and teacher did not allow him for him to see Jesus during the day. Maybe, like many of us, he couldn't find time for Jesus until after all of his other duties were done. Maybe he could not get to Jesus until after work was complete, after dinner was eaten, after the kids were done with their homework, bathed, and put to bed. Or maybe Nicodemus came to Jesus at night because he wanted to catch Jesus all alone. We all know how Jesus rolled, with 12 disciples close by and a multitude of followers not far in the distance. Perhaps Nicodemus went to Jesus at night because he wanted complete privacy for this heart-to-heart talk with the Savior. Or maybe, just maybe, Nicodemus could not wait until the morning. Perhaps this meeting and what Nicodemus wanted to talk to Jesus about was so pressing on his spirit that he could not wait for the sun to come up. He could not wait for breakfast to be done and the children off to school. Maybe Nicodemus went to Jesus in the middle of the night because he was desperate. I believe that Nicodemus went to Jesus that night because he felt trapped. Nicodemus felt trapped by his position as a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin. He felt trapped by his practice of religion, and he felt trapped by his preconceived notions about how one attains salvation. Nicodemus was trapped by his position. He was a Pharisee, ruler of the Jews, and a teacher. Now, you all know that the Pharisees were incredibly strict legalists that demanded the law be kept down to its most minute detail. That means that everything that the law commanded him to do, Nicodemus was faithful to do. He observed all the feasts and holy days. He gave his offerings as prescribed in Leviticus. He attended the synagogue faithfully. He committed the Torah to memory, and he committed to ritual cleanliness at all times. So when anyone looked at Nicodemus, they saw a man who was religious. They saw a man who was righteous. They saw a man who was living in precisely the way the Old Testament prescribed. They also saw a man who was a member of the Sanhedrin. As a member of the ruling council, he acted as one of the highest leaders for the Jewish people. They were the Israeli Supreme Court, and they were the final arbiter of what was right and wrong, both religiously and politically, for the Jewish people in Palestine. They decided if an act was within the Jewish law as passed down to Moses and what the consequences were if it was not. The Sanhedrin had the power to forgive or condemn. Nicodemus had risen to one of the most powerful positions that one could hold in his society. And then along comes Jesus, demonstrating true power. Jesus was out in those Middle Eastern streets, turning water into wine at weddings, driving money changers out of the temple, and reminding the disciples of the psalmist who declared, "Zeal for your house consumes me." Nicodemus had a front row seat, as many people believed in Jesus' name when they saw the signs that he was doing. John does not specify what those signs were, but we know from Matthew, Mark, and Luke that Jesus was healing the sick on the Sabbath. He was casting out demons that others could not. He was feeding the multitudes with a scant few fishes and loaves of bread. He was preaching and teaching to thousands of people at a time. He forgave sins and sinners by welcoming those people that the religious people had cast off. Jesus was breaking all of the rules. He was a nobody from a nowhere place called Nazareth, and yet he was clearly one who has come from God. Nicodemus had to get to Jesus because he was confounded and couldn't understand how this rule breaker could still be from God, how this rule breaker could have so much power, how this rule breaker could do all the things that he could not. Nicodemus had to get to Jesus because he had one burning question. If Jesus is one who came from God and is in the presence of God, and he is breaking all of the rules, are all of the rules necessary for salvation? I believe that Nicodemus was desperate for answers, because he had to know if all those Sundays spent in church, if all those hours spent studying the Bible, if all those Lenten seasons spent fasting and praying, if all those years seeking to attain perfect religious practice, dotting every I and crossing every T, was in vain. He had to know if all of his time spent adhering to the law meticulously and demanding that others did so too, if it was efficacious, would all of that hard work get him into paradise after he was gone? Would his time spent angling for and then finally achieving a seat on the church council, the ruling council, as a part of the Sanhedrin, get him closer to salvation? And much to his surprise, Jesus tells him that there is only one way to see the kingdom of God, and that is to be born again. Born again. Born again? Wait, what, Jesus? How can one be born again? Nicodemus asked Jesus. Jesus' surprising answer to Nicodemus and to us is that if we think our salvation is dependent upon what we do rather than what we believe, we are in for a shock. As humans, we are always striving. We're always trying to earn more, always attempting to attain more power. We are constantly trying to figure out how to control our future by controlling our behavior in the present. But Jesus tells us that the law does not lead to salvation. Jesus tells Nicodemus that he must start all over and become like a newborn baby. Now, y'all know how babies are, right? Y'all have had experience, if not with babies of your own, with babies that you know. Newborn babies are totally vulnerable. They are completely dependent, and they are constantly learning and growing. Newborn babies feel attachment to their caretakers and are comforted when they are held close in their caretaker's arms. They need to be fed often in order to continue to grow and be healthy. Newborn babies poop, and you know newborn babies poop a lot, and they have to be cleaned up after and embraced even when they are covered in the vilest of excrement. And newborn babies cry. Newborn babies keep parents up all night long with their crying. They keep them up in the middle of the day with their crying. Newborn babies wear their parents and their caretakers out with their crying, but we know that their cries are important because newborn babies communicate through their cries. Through their cries, we know if they are hungry or in need of more food. Through their cries, we know if they are tired and in need of more rest. We know through their cries if they are hurt and in need of care. We know if they are alone and just need to be held. And we know through their cries if they are dirty and need to be changed. And what Jesus is telling Nicodemus and telling us is that we can't earn our salvation, but our salvation is tied to a God who so loved the world that he sent his only son to do what we, like newborn babies, can't do for ourselves. Jesus was not sent to condemn the world, as the Sanhedrin condemned those who they found to be outside of the law. Jesus came to save it. The good news for us this morning is that it is not too late to let go of our striving for what we cannot attain. It is not too late for us to stop harshly judging ourselves and judging others for not behaving how we believe that they should. It is not too late for us to put our complete trust and belief in the one who came to save us. It is not too late for us to try new ways of being close to God and to each other. It is not too late to start all over again. I believe that Nicodemus was afraid that night. He was afraid that all of his work was in vain. He was afraid that he had missed God completely because he was focusing on doing rather than being with God. I came here this morning because I know that someone in this room needs to know that God does not expect you to be perfect. God expects us all to make mistakes. God expects us to fall down. God expects us to not understand all the intricacies that make up our being and the world. God knows that we are not always going to get it right, but it's telling us that if we believe, if we place our complete trust in the one who is perfect, if we hand our faults over to the one who is faultless, if we turn to the one who is able to lift us up, and if we admit our ignorance to the all-wise God, then we will be saved. What an interesting dichotomy. that it is in our weakness and our willing to be vulnerable and willing to admit where we fall short that we find our strength. It is in our ability to trust something outside of ourselves with our very selves that leads to our salvation. Nicodemus took a risk going to Jesus that night, and I believe that the risk paid off. Because if we keep reading John, we find out that in chapter 7, Nicodemus insisted that his colleagues in the Sanhedrin give Jesus a full hearing. And by chapter 19, it is Nicodemus and his fellow Sanhedrin member, Joseph of Arimathea, who took Jesus' body and prepared it for burial. The relationship that had been forged in the darkness of night was brought out into the open through the care of the Savior's body. And I believe what God is trying to tell us through the journey of Nicodemus is that it is never too late to turn around and start all over again. It is never too late to allow Jesus into our hearts and lives. It is never too late to place all of our trust and faith in a God who never fails. It is never too late to risk it all and take our faith out of the shadows and into the glorious light. I have a confession to make. I was not sure about how this sermon was going to happen. I struggled with this scripture all week long. I tried all week to write this sermon, and I found myself in a scary position, just like Nicodemus. I did not have my sermon done at 10 o'clock last night. It wasn't done. But I had to go to sleep because I usually go to sleep at 8 o'clock at night so that I can be fresh for you guys on Sunday morning. I had to go to sleep last night without my sermon being done. And then when I woke up this morning, it still wasn't done. Imagine that. Fairies didn't come in and type it out for me while I slept. And I had to face this scripture again. And I had to place all of my trust, not in my seminary training, not in my reading of the Bible all week, not in my fasting and praying all week and doing the things that Lent tells us that we should do. I had to put my trust in Jesus. I had to say, Jesus, I need you. I ain't got it. It's not in here. It's not coming out. Where you at? Jesus, where you at? So often we think it is who we are and what we do that leads to our success. But what God is trying to tell us, that it's not about us, but it is about God. It's not about what we have learned and what we have done, but it is what God is doing in us and doing in our lives. I expected God to come through for me because I was praying and because I was fasting. And God said, you ain't fasting for me to do what you want me to do. You're fasting so that you can hear what I need you to do. Oh, y'all don't know. Y'all don't know. Because there's nothing more frightening to a preacher than not knowing if she will have something to say on Sunday morning. But I'm here to tell you that just as Jesus took a little time for Nicodemus to turn him around, place his feet on solid ground, going in the right direction, God can, has, and will again show up for you if you are like a little baby, open, vulnerable, dependent, and ready to receive. Amen.